And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Call Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. It is great to be with you again today. Thank God for yet another day, folks. And I'll tell you, I get up every day hopeful because, hey, I'm a child of God, and I know God loves me and has a great plan for my life, right? I'm sure you think the same way. And B, I live in the greatest nation on earth, and there's always opportunity. There is always hope. There's always a way and resources to deal with just about anything. That's part of the gift that God has given us, right, as Americans. I mean, we have access to resources and possibilities and potential that are the envy of the world. So I get up every day just really in great anticipation of good things. And I really mean that. And not that I don't have my challenges and problems and issues. I don't mean to suggest that I'm some sort of automaton that's the same way all the time. But I am, no question, I'm a perennial optimist. There's no question about that. I am very, very optimistic. Even when things seem to be going wrong, I'm always looking for, okay, well, now, Lord, I'm sure there's a silver lining behind this somewhere. You know, it's like people say, I sure do wish the sun would come out. And you need to say, it's out. It's always out. You know, the only problem is sometimes there's some muck and some clouds and some garbage that gets in the way of you seeing it. But if you can either get that stuff out of the way or fly up beyond it, guess what? The sun's just as shiny and as bright and as beautiful and as radiant as it ever is. You just got to see it. You know, like the eagle. The eagle can soar above the clouds. You know, he can get up there and just ride the winds of and the currents of life. That's what we Christians ought to be. We ought to be eagles. See, not chickens crawling around in the yard. Nothing against chickens, by the way, because they sure do taste good. But not chickens, you know, crawling around the yard, but eagles. Soaring above the clouds, soaring above the current, soaring above the problems. You know, it's like you get in an airplane on a really bad day. I mean, you know, it's rainy and, you know, I fly a lot. And sometimes you get in the airplane and you can see the rain just beating up against the side of the plane. And it's cloudy and it's windy and you know, just nothing pretty about it per se. And suddenly you head down that runway and you feel the thrust of that airplane and it takes off and climbs and climbs and climbs and climbs. And after a while, pop, out it comes up over those clouds. And it's sunshine again in California. Well, maybe not California. Maybe not California anymore. Well, the sun still shines in California. You know, God loves California, too, and loves the Californians, too. We just got to get them back on track. But at any rate, folks, it's a great day and great to be with you. Thank you all for listening, and thank you for your prayers and your support of our network, American Family Radio. And I'm thankful to be here as your host on The Awakening, E.W. Jackson. And I'm looking forward to our discussion today because it's interesting. You know, from time to time, I told you all this program, and I'm sure all of our programs are, but probably a little bit more so me because I've run for public office. This program is monitored by the left, and I think it's because they are afraid that I might run again at some point or something like that, and they want to make sure that they've got enough ammunition against me to stop me in my tracks before I could even get started. I guess I'm only speculating because I'm thinking, why do they even pay attention to what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just a citizen out here expressing my viewpoint, but they do. So yes, I don't know whether it was yesterday. No, it must have been yesterday. I said, was it yesterday? At any rate, you know, I said that comparing this the book I've read. I finished this book now called The Aquariums of Pyongyang by this guy who was spent 10 years in a North Korean gulag, a North Korean, in effect, a concentration camp, you know, a re-education camp, you know, where they send you to get you right. 10 years from the time he was a child until he was an adult, 10 years in one of these camps, and finally did escape from North Korea. But I said, you know, the way communists treat people who don't agree with them, I said, I don't see a discernible difference between the way communists treat people who don't agree with them and the way the left in America does. Now, of course, there's a tangible difference in terms of the substantive things they can do, because the communists have the force of law and the military and the police behind them to do horrible things to people, and the left does not yet. And we've got to make sure they never do. But you can tell that they feel the same way by their reaction to people. I said, you know, if someone dies or something tragic happens to somebody on the left, I mean, it's just like I said, I don't ever rejoice over the death of someone. I said, I don't even rejoice over the death of Qasem Soleimani. I said, but it's a good thing that he was killed, because a lot of people's lives have been saved as a result, and life is going to be much better for some people, because he will not be there, at least for a time, to carry out his murderous intentions that he has against Americans and against even his own people. But you don't see me dancing a jig over it, because, of course, our desire is for people to get saved, to get delivered, to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And once they're dead, it's too late. And I said, so we don't want to hurt people. We want to bless people, help people, pray for people, persuade people, hope that God will touch their hearts and they will see the light. I said, but the left doesn't have those Christian compunctions. I said, they just as soon see you dead and dance on your grave. And I still believe that. I said, if something, God forbid, were to happen to President Trump, I said, I believe they'd spit on his grave, or they'd step over his body and never look back. Gone are the days when the Democrat Party was more like how Tip O'Neill responded when Ronald Reagan was shot. And he went and visited Ronald Reagan in his hospital room, sat there and held Ronald Reagan's hand and prayed and wept, because he actually liked Ronald Reagan. He actually respected him. They didn't agree on a lot of things, but he actually liked him and respected him, and was actually brokenhearted that somebody had tried to hurt him. These elite, and I'm not talking about rank and file people, but these elites today, these elites in the Democrat Party today, they're full of hatred. They're full of venom. And if they want to argue otherwise, I would say, did you see anybody expressing sorrow over Kim Davis being put in jail because she would not sign a marriage certificate for two homosexuals? Did you see anybody expressing regret because Kelvin Cochran had been denied his lifelong dream of a fire department career when he was fired because they found out he was in churches preaching that marriage is a union between one man and one woman, and the mayor of Atlanta fired him for it? Did you see anybody expressing regret when the Kleins lost their business and were fined $130,000, I think it was, that they had to pay to two lesbians because I think they were the ones who wouldn't bake the cake for a same-sex wedding or ceremony? Did you see anybody saying, oh, wait a minute, now wait, these are decent people. They just don't agree with us, and we got to persuade them. And yeah, we do want to change some laws, but we don't want people hurt like that. No, no, no. You know what they did? They rejoiced. They rejoiced that Kim Davis, sweet little woman, wouldn't hurt a fly. They rejoiced that she was put in jail. Wanted her to rot there. See, we don't think like that. But Right Wing Watch published something pointing out these comments with great disapproval. Well, I've got an answer. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
In our world today, there's a great danger of groupthink. That is the name given to the way in which a group begins to think and reinforce that thinking due to pressures put on the group. One of the classic examples is the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Even though there was evidence that the Japanese might attack the U.S., military officials discounted that evidence, believing that Japan would recognize the futility of war with the U.S. Recently, Victor Davis Hanson wrote about the dangers of elite groupthink. This has become a real problem, especially for the liberal elite, who only read each other's editorials and live in a world that reinforces liberal and progressive ideas. What stimulated his commentary was a recent Washington Post criticism of MSNBC host Rachel Maddow for claiming that the discredited Steele dossier was largely verifiable. But his last example was the best because it focused on all the economic predictions made after Donald Trump was elected president. It was a great warning to all of us to take such predictions with a large measure of salt. Former Princeton professor and Nobel Prize winner Paul Krugman predicted that Trump would crash the stock market and that those stocks would never recover. Former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers said Trump would bring on a recession within a year and a half, and former head of the National Economic Council, Steve Rattner, predicted we would have a stock market crash of historic proportions. I think we can all see how accurate these experts were about the economic consequences of electing Donald Trump. It would be fair to say that just the opposite happened. And that illustrates the danger of elite groupthink. They were all saying the same thing and reinforcing the other's dire predictions. This illustrates the danger of groupthink. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Such comfort. And yet, can you imagine having never read those words for yourself? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, and we've been engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years for $5 a Bible. You know, there are Christians in Asia, Africa, Europe, Latin America, and the Middle East who've never held a Bible in their own hands because of corrupt governments that oppress, majority religions that persecute, and other conditions related to living remotely and in extreme poverty. Some of these new believers, they memorize long stretches of Scripture, while others cherish the Word they heard preached on Sunday until they can gather again. They long for God's Word to hold in their hands and to cherish in their hearts as they grow in His grace and knowledge. Details on how you can be involved are at sendbiblesnow.com. That's sendbiblesnow.com or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
Brian Fisher here. Things are starting to get ugly in the Democrat primary as the candidates start sniping at each other, as the party of diversity puts five old rich white people on the debate stage tonight, and as Democrats realize they've got no one who could beat President Trump. And even the New York Times says Trump has broken the will of the Iranian government to fight. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
So, folks, I say that the left is full of hatred and venom and an intention to destroy or hurt or harm people who don't agree with them. And Right Wing Watch says, oh, he's, as always, this Bishop E.W. Jackson's crazy. He's exaggerating and he's engaged in violent demagoguery. And, you know, they just kind of, all kinds of stuff they come up with to say about me. Because, frankly, I tell the truth. Well, how do you know it's the truth? You know what? As if the Lord himself was saying, I'm serious, folks, as if the Lord himself was saying, oh, you don't believe my servant is telling the truth? Well, let me just show you that he is. Recently, Project Veritas, you all know who he is, James O'Keefe, the guy who was responsible for revealing that abortion clinics were selling baby body parts. He is continuing to be an investigative reporter, and he actually secretly videotaped a member of Bernie Sanders' staff. In fact, one of his field organizers, a guy named Kyle Jurek, so we know who he is. And the journalists asked him whether MAGA people could be reeducated if Sanders wins the White House. And here's how Jurek replies. We got to try. In Nazi Germany, after the fall of the Nazi Party, there was a, and he uses a lot of profanity, which of course I won't report, but I'll give you the blanks where the profanity is. It says, after the fall of the Nazi Party, there was a blank of the populace that was blank Nazified. He goes on to say, quote, Germany had to spend billions of dollars re-educating their blank people to not be Nazis. we're probably going to have to do the same blank thing here. That's kind of what all Bernie's whole, like, quote, and some folks, there's so much profanity in it that I can't, it almost becomes incoherent. So you all just bear with me. Quote, hey, free education for everybody, because we're going to have to teach you not to be a blank Nazi. Yeah. Yeah. In other words, education camps is what he's really getting at. And I'll show you. He's not just talking about free college education to indoctrinate everybody. So listen to this. He justifies Stalin's gulags. He says the CIA was overly critical of Stalin's gulags. He said because, quote, people were actually paid a living wage in the gulags. They had conjugal visits in the gulags. Gulags were meant for re-education. And then he says, one way to re-educate the billionaire class is to order them to, quote, break rocks for 12 hours a day. The greatest way to break a blank billionaire of their privilege and their idea that they're superior, go and break rocks for 12 hours a day. Now you're a working class person and you're going to blank learn what that means, right? Folks, I've said it before. I will say it again. Bernie Sanders is a communist. He is a communist. He can throw the word socialist around all he wants. But the man was in love with Castro. He was in love with Cuba. He was in love with the Soviet Union. He really believes that communism is the way. Why he doesn't leave and go live in a communist country, I don't know. If he really believes that that's the way to go. And so the people around him, look, people are gravitating to him who think the same way. And I've said before, this is part of it. Communists can't win an argument because their arguments don't make sense. What they do is they win force and then they force people. That's what they do. They take power and then they force people. I don't know how many of you were able to be on my weekly conference call. I think I'd announced it last week that I had Representative Andy Biggs of the Freedom Caucus on, and he was on with us at the 12 o'clock hour today, 12 o'clock Eastern time, that is. And he said, you know, when you take socialism and you add a heavy dose of authoritarianism, he said, you have communism. He said, because communism is authoritarian. He said, and that's what we've got. We've got socialism and authoritarianism, and that's really nothing but communism. That's from Representative Andy Biggs of the Freedom Caucus of the Congress of the United States. He is saying that these Democrats have gone far beyond mere moderate left thinking. They've gone all the way into now we're seeing justifying gulags to re-educate people. I wish I could say I'm surprised, but I am pleased that this happens right after the left has criticized me for suggesting that this is the way they think. You say, well, now, Bishop, that's just one person in the Bernie Sanders camp. Who do you think? This person represents what the kind of people he attracts. Because they know what he'll never say out loud, which is he's a communist. And then further, listen to this. He says, if Bernie Sanders doesn't get the nomination or it goes to a second round at the DNC convention, he says, blank Milwaukee will burn. It'll start in Milwaukee. And then when the police push back on that, other sites will explode, except he uses another expletive there. And then he says, be ready to be in Milwaukee for the DNC convention. We're going to make 1968 look like a Girl Scout cookout, except he's got two expletives there. I'll just tell you where they're expletives rather than even trying to include them in the reading of it, because it's just ridiculous. He says, the cops are going to be the ones beaten in Milwaukee. Again, once again, he uses an expletive there to amplify the word beaten. The cops are going to be the ones beaten in Milwaukee. So now he's threatening law enforcement. Folks, I'm telling you, Thank you, James O'Keefe. Thank you, Project Veritas. Case closed. I've said that this is the way they think. They think people are too stupid to know how to think for themselves, and you got to force them to think the way you want them to think. So much so that this is an American who's actually suggesting that Stalin's gulags were a good thing because they re-educated people. And after all, he paid them a living wage. I mean, do you believe this? He paid them a living wage. I mean, that's like saying, well, slavery wasn't that bad because after all, people got food and clothing. And if you said something like that about slavery, people would, are you crazy? Well, how would you don't dare say a thing because we know that there nothing is worth the price of your freedom. But people were being put in gulags, meaning their freedom was taken away, their human dignity was taken away. And this leftist working for Bernie Sanders as an organizer, and this guy on staff, by the way, we're not talking about some volunteer who just happened along, is saying that the gulags were a good thing because, after all, it was necessary to re-educate the people. You know, you got to wrench all that free enterprise and individual liberty and all that crazy stuff. You got to wrench that out of people. And the only way you can wrench that out of them is grab them by the throat and choke them until they regurgitate until it just comes leaping out of them. You punish them, you torture them, you imprison them, you make them, as he suggested, you make them break rocks for 12 hours. Folks, you know, it ought to be disturbing to us that we have Americans who think like that, but we do. We do. You know, I've said many times before, and by the way, I'm going to start taking your calls early today because I want to get your reaction to this stuff. The number is 888-589-8840. I've said many times before, and I hope nobody misunderstands me. I've said, look, you know what? The Ku Klux Klan, skinheads, I mean, please, they're not a problem in America. You know why? Not that they haven't been. I think they have been. There have been times when they had undue influence in our country. But that's not true anymore. And you know why? Because almost everybody knows they're just a bunch of ne'er-do-wells who deserve nothing but our shunning and telling you need to get your act together. I mean, give me a break. You know, how stupid can you be? First of all, it's based on ignorance because they don't even understand the history of the country. They don't, not a bit do they understand the history of the country. But that aside, they're full of evil because they think that somehow hurting and killing other people is going to make America a better place. And they don't realize you reap what you sow. You think that that's going to work because you happen to be a person of a certain background or whatever. No, believe me, it won't work. It won't work. What goes around will definitely come around. And so I don't spend any time worrying about the Ku Klux Klan or the skinheads. Please. Folks, those people who believe that stuff are too dumb to come in out of the rain. But you know what concerns me? People like this, embedded in a national campaign that is leading in the polls of the Democrat Party, who think that way, are actually positioning themselves to have a lot of power and influence in this nation. That's what ought to concern us. The wickedness of the left, because they're positioned to actually carry it out. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Life can be awful frustrating at times. There are frustrations at home, such as never enough time. Hard to fix a meal, which each member of the family likes. Any of you housewives ever do that? You know, you fix a meal and three out of four like it. but that fourth one doesn't. Another frustrating thing is that parents don't understand teenagers, and teenagers are inconsiderate to parents. Two, there are financial frustrations. Too often, it seems like there's too much month left at the end of the money. And job frustrations. The employees are lazy, the boss is too demanding, or the job is too confining. Life is full of frustrations. It doesn't take much to get you to agree to that. But if we are to remain sane in this world, we must learn how to handle frustrations. We must be able to face frustrations without becoming frustrated. Let us say that we cannot handle frustrations by becoming like those people in situations which cause frustrations. If we do, we will add to the problem rather than help in the solution. It helps tremendously if we can learn to accept frustration as a normal part of living. Once we do this, then we are in a position to learn from our frustrations, get something from them, and make them pay us their dividends. Sometimes there are simple solutions to our frustrations. If we're short on time, perhaps we're trying to do too much. If there isn't enough money for all our wants, perhaps we need to trim our wants a little and get them in line with our money. If we are habitually late, maybe we need to begin a little earlier. God has some simple answers for us if we will but pay attention to them. When frustrations come, cool down and think things over. A period where you can just be alone for a few moments and talk it over with God helps. Remember also that not everything is wrong. Most things are still right. Think on the things which are still right. Remember that God is still the same God, still present, willing, and wanting to help. We should not merely accept frustrations. No, we should attack them and put them on the defensive. We must not let them control us. We must always be in control of them. By doing this, we keep from letting our frustrations frustrate us. Frustrations can be frustrated. We're told that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Take Him up on that, and He'll help you frustrate even the most frustrating frustrations. In the Old Testament book Hosea, we read, "I will make the dale of trouble the door of hope." Can you imagine that? Turning trouble into hope. God is saying that He can actually frustrate frustrations. Let us not give up when faced with frustrations. Let us do with them what it was intended that we do with them. Make them constructive, useful situations. Keep in mind that we can, with the help of God, turn trouble into hope and frustrations into fruit.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
So here again, I am not surprised, but it is disturbing to know, to now have it confirmed that people on the left actually believe that indoctrination, re-education, gulags, denazification, as they would put it, is something that ought to be considered, or something ought to be looked at, because anybody who supports Trump needs to be denazified. Folks, this is, and here again, if the person expressed that to somebody undercover with Project Veritas, you know what? They've discussed it with other people. They didn't just suddenly decide they trusted this person, they were going to say that. This is something they've been saying, talking about among each other. And I guarantee you Bernie Sanders has in no way discouraged it, because if he did, he wouldn't have been so supportive of Fidel Castro and the Soviet Union. Because remember, too, these gulags are places where people were sent to die. A lot of times they went to these places with the intent that they would never, ever leave, that they would either work them to death or that they'd find some excuse at some point for them to be killed. And for example, in the gulags of North Korea, any attempt to escape brought about a summary execution. No trial, no hearing, no nothing. You were caught trying to escape. You were summarily executed, either by hanging or shot. And it was all, the executions were always done in front of everybody so that all could see what would happen to you if you either rebelled against the authority of the camp or you tried to escape the camp. So folks, anybody who is actually saying, justifying, well, the gulags, they were just re-education camps. I mean, and Stalin paid people a living wage. I mean, that's not just stupidity, folks. That is pure evil. Pure evil. The number is 888-589-8840. Let's go to the phones. I want to get your reaction to this. Let's go to Lori in Oklahoma. Lori, welcome. Lori, welcome. You're on.
Thank you for taking my call, Bishop. I thoroughly enjoy spending my lunch hour with you almost every day.
Thank you.
What I wanted to say was hats off to Project Veritas for once again exposing the truth with regards to indoctrination and changing the minds of people. That's been happening for some time through our general and public education system. But what I wanted to say about Bernie Sanders, which I think is something that I don't understand, how even the blindest Democrat, socialist, communist, anyone left-leaning, whatever, cannot see that he is the king of hypocrites. He's a multimillionaire, and he is making money hand over fist, yet he speaks this death to America and freedom and capitalism and earning and keeping what you make through this communist mask and socialism speech that he constantly gives. I don't understand why people are so blind and can't wrap their head around who he really is.
Well, and I think the reason, Lori, is that they're blind like he is. The people who support Bernie Sanders are blind like he is, and they have no understanding of history. They have no understanding of where this stuff takes you. And they are willing to overlook what you point out is the obvious hypocrisy, because these leftists who tout this stuff, and by the way, I would have Michael Bloomberg and Tom Steyer and George Soros listen to what this guy is saying about putting billionaires in slave labor camps to break rocks 12 hours a day to help them understand that they're not superior to anybody else. So these people who think that somehow they can make the country a socialist, communist country, and they're going to be the elite that help run things, they've got another thought coming. Because one of the things that happens when these communists take over is that a lot of the early supporters of the effort are later found to be traitors to the cause, maybe because they want to go further than they want to, and they end up getting executed. Stalin did that to a bunch of people. And it's happened in every country that's gone communist. You get a first tier of leaders who end up getting executed, who think that they're bringing in this utopia. And so George Soros, Tom Steyer, Bernie Sanders, Michael Bloomberg, those of you who want to push the country in a left-wing direction, they better take stock that they would be probably among the first to go. So thanks for the call, Lori. Let's go to Lori. Let's go to Johnny in Arkansas. Johnny, welcome.
Yes. Hi, Bishop. Again, this is Johnny. I grew up in Romania. I talked to you 3 weeks ago. I'm sorry, I couldn't explain myself. But wanted to say, yeah, everything that you said, it's exactly on point about the communists. It's been taught for a long time. Basically, what they do, they just come in. Evolution is the first thing they start doing in schools. They educate the kids the wrong stuff. We didn't have a Bible, actually, for a long, long time. That's their agenda. And then the generations as they go through the life, kids, they don't understand it because the parents, they didn't understand it either. So we have in the United States right now, we have a generation of a lot of kids. They don't understand the part of if we leave God out of the nations, this is what's going to happen.
And Gianni, let me just ask you this. They always promise utopia, don't they? They always promise that things are just going to be wonderful. They're going to be so great, and everybody's going to be prosperous, and everything is going to be fair, and everything is going to be equal. I mean, this is the propaganda that they lure people with, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And the only thing they want is power and money, basically. That boils down to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gianni, thank you for the call again. I remember you calling, and I really appreciate it. It was a very powerful call, and the same has been true today. So thank you for the call. Let's go to David in Texas. David, welcome.
Hey, just want to say you could be the next Rush Limbaugh, honestly.
Well, that's awfully nice of you to say. I don't know whether Rush would agree with that, but thanks.
But I just want to, I got two comments. First off, they're idiots. Forgive me, Lord, for saying that. But second off, I think we just need to pray for them. Because, and, okay, I do have a third comment. I honestly think this will be the last election we have.
Well, I'll tell you, David, I hope and pray and trust that you are wrong about that. And I will simply say this, and I'm sure every person listening, or most people listening on this station and on this network or to this network will agree with me, not on our watch. We're going to fight with every fiber of our being to make sure that America remains the land of the free, because we are the home of the brave. But David, on there being idiots, the dictionary says an idiot is a stupid or foolish person. And to say that these leftists aren't both stupid and foolish would be to tell a lie. So I think the word idiot does apply. So, and I think that's fairly mild. But thanks for the call, David. Let's go to Jason in Texas. Jason, welcome. You've only got about a minute, I think, Jason, but go right ahead.
How you doing, Brother Bishop? Did you ever see the pictures of my truck on Facebook?
I don't know. What do they say?
The fake CNN, fake news, MSNBC, support our troops.
Yes. I think you called before and told me about it, right? Yeah. So I think I saw those. Yes.
Yeah. Well, my wife's pretty much got the same stuff on her truck, and she's been called white power racist and blah, blah, blah at her work. And I couldn't figure out how to fire her because she always shows up and does her job. But they made a comment. They was commenting about her age and picking on her. And then they was like, well, what are you going to do about it? Tase us? She said, I got something bigger than that. They went straight to HR, got her fired because they felt their lives were in danger.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Jason, thanks for the call. I'll comment on that when we come back. But, folks, this is what I mean. They've got us walking on eggshells, which is exactly what happens in totalitarian nations. Back in a moment.
Was the worst moment of my entire life. I've been hurt a lot in my life, but nothing like that.
Lisa Turkhurst on Focus on the Family Minute recalling the moment she learned her husband had been unfaithful to her and how God met her.
I had a script in my mind, you know, of what I would say and what I would do, but the Lord was so gracious to me. And, you know, when the Lord encourages us to pursue Him, it's in a daily way. And so the Lord really does want us to spend time with Him every day. And I think sometimes it's because we think it's because it's part of the good Christian checklist to do.
Yeah, sure.
But the reality is the Lord sees what's coming, and He is so compassionate that He wants to fully prepare us.
More from Lisa Turkhurst at familyminute.org.
Hello. American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
The petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing 1 million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what could it hurt? What could it hurt? What could it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at afa.net.
Life is filled with surprises. And when a young woman in crisis finds out she's pregnant, oftentimes that surprise ends in abortion. That's where the Ministry of Preborn comes in, to meet these young moms where they're at. This young mom was given a free ultrasound that turned her baby's life into a reality.
I was looking at the picture every day when they gave it to me. I would look at it every day and just looking at it, and I was just like, I couldn't do it.
Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country. Would you join with Preborn and American Family Radio to help save 2,500 babies this week? One ultrasound session costs $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Any gift will help. All gifts are tax deductible. Call now at 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or visit afr.net. Your love can save a life.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. Let me just make a comment on the last caller whose wife got fired because apparently there's some stickers on her truck and people were harassing her. And there's something she said and somebody made some comment. She said, what are you going to do, tase me? I got something bigger than that. Now, look, folks. I've said this repeatedly. We do not live under a totalitarian state, thank God. But we are increasingly living under a totalitarian culture. And one of the elements of a totalitarian culture, of totalitarianism in general, is everybody is on eggshells as to what they can and cannot say. And you have to be very, very careful about what you say, because what you say could lead to terrible consequences in a totalitarian state. It could lead to you being simply picked up off the street, or somebody knocking on your door at midnight, or coming to get you on the job and you simply disappearing, never to be heard from again. In a totalitarian culture, it can lead to you losing your job, losing your livelihood, losing your reputation, and being smeared in some way that makes it almost impossible for you to earn a living or for you to live peaceably. And so we are living in a totalitarian culture, because you know what should have happened in that situation. I mean, that the rhetoric probably got a little bit out of hand, but you know, whoever runs the company, whoever the supervisor was, should have called 2 people in who had the discussion and said, now look, you know, you guys are going to have to leave politics outside because it gets in the way of our getting the job done here. So just, you want to have political debates, feel free. Go. Meet each other at a coffee shop or something and have it out, you know, or after work, meet somewhere and debate it. But when you come to work, let's stick to doing the job, because we don't want things interfering with our ability to do that, because we're here to serve our customers and do our job. And you all are free to think anything you want to think, anytime you want to think it, and you're free to say anything you want to say. But just remember, if the discussions start making it difficult to get our job done, that's where we step in. And end of discussion, go back to work. But no, that's not what happens. The person whose politics they don't like gets fired. And in almost every case, unfortunately, since the corporate world at least has been wholly taken over by the far left, if you are a Bible-believing Christian, if you are a patriot, you know, all of that's considered racist now. And you saw in this Veritas video, we're being called Nazis. So, and that's pretty ugly, folks. That's pretty ugly. And so that, sadly, that's where we are right now. So you've got to be prepared for a fight when you start expressing yourself in circumstances where you know people are not going to like what you have to say. You better be prepared for some consequences and be prepared to fight them and fight the good fight of faith, because nowadays that's simply where we are. We are in a totalitarian culture. Okay, let's try to get as many calls in here as we can before we have to go. Let's go to Don in North Carolina. Don, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop. A couple quick comments, and I'll be off of the line here. Number one, this gentleman that talks about a living wage in the gulag ought to read Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago to see if he got paid. The second thing is perhaps Mr. Sanders ought to be the first one to get reeducated because of his three homes. Perhaps he needs to rethink his position on socialism. And finally, what concerned me most in this thing that you mentioned was the gentleman's veiled threat on the what's going to go on in Milwaukee. That sounds to me like revolution and riot in the street. And I don't think that's the way we live in America. I'm just astounded at the foolishness of all of this. Thank you so much for your report, and I'll let you comment.
Thank you, Don. Thank you. Well, Don, you look, you said it all. I mean, I there's really nothing more to add to that. Thank you for the comment, because you're right. That's not who we are as a country. We don't resolve our political differences by tearing up our cities and destroying private property and all of this craziness. But it just goes to show here again, the left, because they have rejected God, they have also rejected any notion of absolute morality, of right and wrong. The end justifies the means. And that's just where they are, and that's a pretty sad commentary. So let's go to Jason in Georgia. Jason, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Jason. Hello? You're on. Yes, you're on.
Oh, hey, how are you, sir? Thank you for taking my call. I got one question. Well, you know, we hear we should pray, we're going to do this and that, and we keep taking all this stuff from the left. And over the past seven, eight years, the left has really shown their face, and they're not afraid to tell us what they have in plan for us. So my question is, at what point do we say, okay, we've prayed, we've done this, we've done that, now it's time, as they did it then, to turn our plows into swords and stop this madness before it gets any further? Because we're dying from a death by a thousand cuts right now. And at some point, it's going to get so far, we're not going to be able to do anything about it, and we'll be lost. So,
well, okay, Jason, I got your point. And look, I get this point made from time to time, and I think you all know where I am. I just don't believe we're anywhere near that point yet. I think as long as we can, look, until every American, every right-thinking American who believes in this country registers and gets out and votes, I don't think we even have the right to talk about the possibility of picking up swords or guns or anything else. I mean, let's do our civic duty. Let's get fully involved. I mean, we have a constitution and we have rights, but we're not fully exercising them. So let's do that. And I think if we will do that, the God we serve will not allow this country to become a nation of tyranny in which we become the slaves to our government, which is exactly what clearly Bernie Sanders and his little organizer there thinks needs to happen. That will never happen if we will just get involved. Okay, let's go to Bob in Tennessee. Bob, welcome.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to mention that, you know, the left is all for Islam and all for bringing Muslims into the country and all that kind of stuff, but the same kind of thing is going to happen to them if they allow ISIS too much. If the worst-case scenario happens and ISIS actually, or a form of radical Islam, took control of the United States, those people would be the first to go. They'd kill them, too, because they hate moderates. I'm talking about ISIS. They hate moderates. They want everyone to be radical. They're just doing what Muhammad taught them to do. They're doing what the Quran says. And everybody else that's a moderate deserves death. And they actually kill their own kind. So it's insanity.
You know, it's a marriage of convenience. I think they share, radical Muslims share a mutual hatred of America, which the left is all too happy to feed. I think they share a common desire to have totalitarian control over people. And you're right. They just don't realize that if they think Muslims are going to hand over control to them, and they're going to push abortion and homosexuality and all of this other stuff, and that the Muslims, the radical Muslims, are just going to say, oh, okay, well, sure, absolutely. Let's have a free and open society and free speech. And all. They can forget it. You're right. Bob, they would be the left would be the first to go. So it's a marriage of convenience. It is a little strange, but nevertheless, the left, I don't think they care who they ally themselves with as long as it furthers the agenda. And they would wake up one day if they got their way to realize, you know what? I don't think these Muslims were really on our side. Let's go to Patricia in Michigan. Patricia, welcome.
Hello?
Yes, Patricia, you are on.
Okay. What I'm seeing here is that so many people are forgetting that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and evil spirits in high places. And I think our problem stems from the fact that there's too little prayer. Mm-hmm. I remember when my dog died, I cried to God because I had placed the dog as an idol in my life. And I asked God to forgive me. So when I got on my knees, the Lord took me to Romans, where he says, reckon yourself dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Mm-hmm. And then when I realized he wasn't coddling me, that he wanted me to follow his word, then I heard an audible voice said, the dead do not respond. And I Amen. Think the thing is that people are responding, and they shouldn't be responding to evil. They should be responding to God with prayer.
All right, Patricia, we've got it. I was going to say, you're right. It is a spiritual battle, but faith without works is also dead. So let's go to Ricky in Louisiana. Ricky, welcome.
Yes, thank you, Bishop. Yes, every time Trump tweets anything, the entire left read their blog, everything in response to Trump. Trump's a communist. Trump's a Nazi. But that's exactly what they are, because Lenin said the pathway to communism is socialism, and the national, Nazi National Socialist yeah. Party and yeah. the USSR, Soviet Union Socialists, they always claim we're socialists. Well, they're actually Nazis and communists. Of course, they know they are. They just don't say that. But that's what they are. Not Nazis and communists are what the entire left is, and they boast that they're socialists, so they already took the mask off, and they say Lenin is the father of communism, right? Socialism leads to communism. You got to yep. do the sweet stuff first, and then when you get ironclad, take everybody's guns away, then you're communist and kill everybody.
All right, Ricky, thanks for the call. Let's see if we can get Christy in before we go. Christy, welcome. Christy from Arkansas.
Hey!
Christy, I'm afraid you're a little short on time, but go ahead.
All right, I'm going fast. God is in control. We're not. We need to do our best, you know, and God Amen. Does the rest.
All right, listen, that's going to do it, Christy. Do our best. God does the rest. I agree. It is a spiritual battle, folks, but faith without works is dead. So, yes, we do need to pray and keep praying. Remember, Jesus said men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Well, that means just because you pray doesn't mean you're going to see immediate results in every case. But he said, keep praying. And that's what I'm going to do, but I'm going to also keep registering and voting and getting involved and engaging, because I believe we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.